about fucking. You gotta put it in perspective.
Now, what was the first thing you said this morning at the breakfast table?
First thing?
That's right.
First thing I say every morning.
What's that?
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Check this out. Radio on Dirt.
Yay!
Radio on Dirt.
Yay!
Radio on Dirt.
Yay!
Ideas are in the air. We don't own them. We are just merely a vessel.
George Clooney was a bad man of insufficient quality. Yeah, I said it.
And now.
Did somebody say crank up the volume? No one said crank up the volume. Damn it.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday morning, the 26th of November.
Feels like it should be December, doesn't it?
Does, yes.
Maybe I should go past the Thanksgiving weekend. I feel like it should be December. And now we got a few more straggler days of November.
Just
to
lop
through.
Off the end of November and just carry to it?
I'm just saying it feels weird.
You're saying it's like November's placenta.
I wasn't going to put it in those terms. Okay. But
it's
okay.
The afterbirth of November.
Hey, K-Rex Kevin.
Right?
Well, so early.
Right?
Welcome back, guys.
Hey, K-Rex Jensen.
Hi.
Morning.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Rian.
What's happening with you two?
How was everything, Allie?
Everything was good, Bean.
How was the Lacey Chabert movie?
Oh, real good. Thank you for asking.
What was it called? Which one was it?
That one was something about Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Pride and Prejudice and Santa or something.
Yeah, sure. And a cookie. Something, yeah. It was wonderful. Thanks for asking.
How was that Lacey Chabert movie is a question no one's asked ever.
Well,
right?
You should ask that all the time during Christmas because she is the Christmas queen of Hallmark movies. Well, her and Candace Cameron Bure.
Yeah.
And Alicia Witt, but... I said too much.
You did. Allie had plans that she was excited about on Friday night and then realized she couldn't go because the Lacey Chabert movie was on and she needed to watch it live.
Are you kidding?
No, my friend said, listen, we're going to meet in Los Feliz around 8. And I texted back and I'm like, oof, I'll see you probably after that. Gotta watch this one. It was the first Lacey Chabert of the season. She means Christmas.
At some
to me.
Point in the future, and I know this sounds ridiculous, they're gonna make a little machine that you can record TV shows.
No.
And you can go out and meet your friends.
What?
And come back and watch it later. I know it sounds futuristic and ridiculous.
That's a future I want to live in.
Right?
It sounds great.
You can only watch stuff live.
No, I'm saying in the future, Bean.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, there's a little box that we'll all be dead
by the time they get to there.
All right.
Look, I'm just still waiting for a fourth channel. You know what I mean? I mean, three seems like enough, but one day somebody's going to come along and put a fourth channel on the air. while we're dreaming, right?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, let's do a little How Does the Story End, shall we?
How does the story end, my friend? Friend. Does the story end?
I love this one, and I think you guys will, too. We've all seen Storage Wars, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Storage Wars is where somebody comes up and bids on somebody's storage facility, a room that has expired.
Go ahead with that.
Welcome back.
Thanks. Somebody is renting a storage
room
unit.
Has expired.
Somebody
has a date on it, and you have to eat it by a certain day.
Facility.
Smell this. Does this smell okay?
Hey, does this room smell weird?
And they stop. Give me a little how does the story end, shall we?
Sure.
How does the story end?
You guys all know Storage Wars, right? That show?
Yep.
How does the story
it's
end?
On So somebody rents a storage facility, but then for whatever reason, they stop paying the rent on it, and it goes to auction. So people show up on a Saturday morning, and they go, hey, I don't know what's in this storage unit, but I'm willing to put down $300 for it. And then you don't know. You could go in there. It could be packed with antiquities, or it literally could be empty. There could be nothing in the storage unit. You don't know. Well, that's what happened. This is Dan Dotson, who is one of the auctioneers on Storage Wars. And here's the story he told recently.
What are you going to pay? How much?
Call it a modern-day treasure hunt.
145, sir. 135 there. 145 here.
Bidding on abandoned storage units without knowing what's inside. Dan Dotson, an auctioneer on the popular A&E show Storage Wars, recalled on Facebook being at an event earlier this month when a woman approached him.
She says, I want to tell you this story. My husband works for a guy, and he bought a unit from you, and it had a safe in it.
But this wasn't just any safe.
Inside the safe, normally they're empty, but this time it wasn't empty.
Okay, so you feel like you scored if you buy a storage unit and there's a safe in it, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. What was in the safe?
A human head.
It's a great guess.
I like it.
Thank you.
It's a great guess. Kevin, what was in the safe?
Why would you be
He paid $500 for it. What was in the safe?
Gold bars.
Gold bars. Mm-hmm. All right. Jensen.
Well, I mean, I'd say cash because that's what I put in a safe when I
Where's your
cash.
Safe? What you part of the house safe? Is your safe in?
Okay, so I put it in my bedroom. It's in the closet, but under a latch.
Does it ever expire?
let's find out what was in the safe, you
Come
guys.
On,
it had $7.5 million.
$7.5 million in cold, hard cash.
$7.5 million.
Oh, wow.
How does this story
in the safe?
End?
Well, we're about to ask that question.
But the story has another twist. Mm. Dotson says the new owners got a call from an attorney representing the safe's original owners.
How about beat it, kid?
Right?
Yeah. Right?
That's up to auction. They can't come back and claim it now.
Yes, that's what I think. Look, they didn't pay the unit fee, and they lost it. And somebody else bought it legally and owns it.
But
right?
But who's they?
Well, this is the thing. And they don't explain who. But let's talk about if somebody is putting $7.5 million in a safe in a U-Haul.
Something's wrong. Very shady.
It is, it's
shady.
Drug cartel or something, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, leads me more to believe that the rightful owner should keep the money.
Oh, you mean because it's like illegal and why give it
back?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Except I'd be scared and have to like have security around my home.
And then a human head.
Yeah. Well, right? I forgot about the human head. Yeah. And then I guess if you also, now that I'm thinking about it out loud, if you also keep that money and now other people know about it, maybe that gets on the Fed's radar and maybe they can come in and claim it all because it's illegally gotten, right?
But
and
is
you
it,
haven't paid taxes on
is it illegally gotten, though?
Yeah, that's my question. Is it was a legal auction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So whatever's in there doesn't matter where it came from, really.
No, if you buy something that turns out to be stolen, I think people can still take it back from you, even though you didn't
absurd.
Know it was stolen,
yeah.
You know? So anyway, well, all right, so attorney...
Why don't people just keep their mouth shut?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. What's in the safe?
No
deodorant?
Idea. Right? No idea. Haven't opened it.
Deodorant's a good guess, though.
Yeah. Gotta go.
Well, because the human head starts to smell
sure.
bad. So all right. So attorney from the previous owners, the people who let the storage unit lapse, they call.
Requesting their money back.
They offered $600,000, and then they doubled it to $1.2 million. And I guess they gave him back $6.3 million.
What? Why would you do that?
What?
Yes, they said, hey, $600,000 we'll give you as a finder's fee, essentially. Give us the rest of our money back. And the people who bought it said no. And they said, how about $1.2 million? And they said, okay. So they gave back $6 million.
No.
That's a terrible episode of that show.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
But what if someone just showed up at your house and, like, I'm sure some stuff happened. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You
like
can't
they
just
got threatened or
yeah.
something?
Yeah, you just get a phone call.
Right.
Right.
Like,
hey,
hey, can we have most of our money back? Yeah, you know what? Sure.
Yeah, sure. And on the phone, they're like, we want to double it to 1.2, and we know your grandma lives in Montebello. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they hit them with one last sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
On social media, Dotson asked viewers what they would do. One wrote, I would feel too guilty if I kept it. Another said, if they had that much money, why didn't they pay for the storage unit? For one lucky treasure hunter, the find of a lifetime.
I don't feel good about their decision at all.
No, I don't either.
That reporter's dead now, too.
Human head.
I just feel like they owned it. They owned it legally.
So
yeah,
I mean,
a bad choice.
I would. That's not what I would have done. I mean, I would have used some of that money to get a new identity and leave the country so that I, so that the drug cartel couldn't track me down.
For some reason, that's always at the top of Bean's list. I think he might be on the lam.
I mean, if I split a fingernail, I think, how can I leave the country under an assumed name? So anyway, kids, that's how the story ends.
That's how the story ends.
And there are also the billions of people who buy those lots and get nothing.
Yeah,
they
just
get
like
nothing.
Socks.
And they're, and they're all upset.
I love it. That show's great. People just go through one of those storage units and be like, oh, used underwear, $6. a lampshade, $5. And they just make up numbers as they're going through it. And they're like, oh, got $300 in here. No, you don't.
Never seen an episode, never want to.
Oh, you're better
yep.
off.
I'm not interested.
Yeah.
It's,
yep.
Yeah, it's that yep guy.
Yeah. That guy's super annoying as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Do we care?
Yep.
Great news, because it's Monday. We're going to talk to Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network about an NFL Week 12 recap.
Mm-hmm.
We have bad things said at Thanksgiving.
I've been dreading this one.
Good times.
I did say something this before we went on break that's happened at one of my Thanksgivings, and now I'm nervous to say it, but I'm going to.
Do you want to just tease it with that?
An uncle,
you shouldn't, Jensen.
All right. An uncle did something bad at a Thanksgiving dinner. Bye.
Did he whip it out?
No.
Oh.
Jesus.
Sorry.
Wow. You go to very different Thanksgivings than you do.
Got it.
I need to have different Thanksgivings. People are dumb on the show today. Omar is crazy with his Christmas lights. I don't know what's going on with him, but yeah. I'm really glad I'm not one of his neighbors.
Griswold.
He's crazy. He is. We've also got tickets to the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, plus Bud Light backstage passes.
Nice.
For night one and for night two. Is that correct, Bean? I haven't checked.
I haven't checked either.
Okay. All right. So just we're going to give away some tickets for that. So just take
I'm
our word
waiting
for
on my paperwork. No paperwork. I don't know if our staff is still on holiday.
No, I think their office expired.
Yep.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Allie, we're so glad you're back on What's Happening.
Oh, was that Jensen guy in here?
Right here.
He burned it to the ground.
Oh,
man.
Sorry about that.
Jensen. Here's one example.
And now, a moment with Jensen.
Super sad. The 90s boy band was popular in the 90s, and that's...
Wait, say that sentence again?
Yeah. That's not worth a poll, just for the record.
That was a moment with Jensen.
I mean, that's what we had to deal with, Allie. I mean, come on.
I mean, and to take away from the death of the guy from LFO and joke about it. Right. You guys are awful.
Chinese food made him sick.
Very insensitive.
And now, a moment with Jensen.
Super sad. The 90s boy band was popular in the 90s, and that's...
Wait, say that sentence again?
Yeah. That's not worth a poll, just for the record.
That was a moment with Jensen.
5:53, let's find out what's happening here on this Monday morning. Here's Allie.
Not to get in the weeds with LFO, but two guys out of three dead of cancer?
It's a curse.
That's awful.
Jensen, how many of the Fat Boys are alive?
Two. One.
Oh, so they only lost one. Okay.
Yeah, and one, but one's very, very skinny.
Is that true?
Lost a lot of weight. Yeah, he became a personal trainer.
No, sir.
Swear to God. Yeah, one of them's like super buff.
You're playing Mad Libs now.
No, it really is.
Cool.
Tune in to Kevin and Bean for more Fat Boys trivia.
I like it. Any of you see any movies over this long holiday weekend?
Did not.
I saw what is it? Beautiful Boy?
Beautiful Boy.
Oh, mm-hmm. God. It's...
Yeah.
It is a real tearjerker.
Yeah.
How did you not see any movies with 4 days, Kevin?
Had a bunch of family, and then we would make plans, and then somebody else would go, let's do something else. And go, all right, that's okay. That's
cool. Wow, because there were a bunch you wanted to see, too.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge weekend at the box office. Ralph Breaks the Internet and Creed 2 led the way, delivering the highest grossing Thanksgiving box office ever.
Whoa.
Disney's animated Ralph sequel, starring John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman, grossed $84.5 million over 5 days.
Wow.
That's the second biggest Thanksgiving opening ever. And then coming in at number two, Creed 2, of course, with Michael B. Jordan, Sylvester Stallone, brought in $55.8 million over the 5 days. That's the most that a live-action film has ever brought in over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Huh. Right. Shocking.
Not bad.
So what you're saying is the weekend is ripe for a movie maybe even about Thanksgiving? Like an Eli Roth horror movie?
Don't get us started on that.
Just saying. There's an open lane.
Sure.
Had it.
Do it.
Had it. Number three. Dr. Seuss the Grinch, $30.2 million. That's not bad.
Wow.
Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald, $29.7 million. That's not a lot for that movie.
Well, I mean, it's been out for a little bit, but...
Is that weekend two?
This is number four that's made almost $30 million. That's pretty...
Yeah. It's a big drop-off, though.
Bohemian Rhapsody, $13.9 million. Rounding
that
out
has
the
had
top
some
five.
Staying power, that movie.
It really has. Really has, you guys. Green Book. Was this the premiere weekend?
That is week
Did
one.
Did it debut?
Yeah.
Green Book.
But it's not. But I don't think it's going for big box office numbers.
Well, good, because it came in at number nine with 5.4 million.
Yeah, I don't think it's...
I want to see that.
I do, too.
What is it?
That's the Viggo Mortensen and...
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
Mahershala, I don't know. Oof,
yeah, boy. Viggo's Mahershala playing... Ali. It's like a Driving Miss Daisy. He's a white man who is driving a black musician around the South during the Civil Rights era, and it's a budding friendship between the two.
I saw a great tweet. Do we really need another story about one white guy that was nice in the 60s?
Hey, speaking of white guys,
yes.
You know I don't go to the theaters as often as you guys do, but I did finally see Black Klansman over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
I have not.
I have, yeah.
It's incredible.
It is.
Yeah.
It is the best thing Spike Lee has done, I think, in 30 years. And the performances are amazing, and Harry Belafonte just blew my mind how great he was in that movie. Really, really recommend. It's on demand right now. And you'll want to own the Blu-ray, Jensen. It's real good.
Oh, well, that's high praise. I did see Boy Erased.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how's that?
Really good.
That's the Nicole Kidman gay conversion therapy movie?
Yes. Joel Edgerton directed it, who made The Gift last year, which I love, and he's also in it. But I will tell you, K-Rock artist Flea is in that movie.
Is that right?
He is a killer. He's so good. He should be acting all the time.
Flea!
Yeah, and Troye Sivan. Both very, very good in that movie.
Wow.
Yeah. Worth seeing.
That seems like a hard watch.
It
does.
I watched that and Beautiful Boy this weekend, so I was in a real mood.
Yeah.
A boy mood, some would say.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, I'm always in a boy mood, is what I'm saying.
Some good recommendations there.
Right. Hey, Bean, did you see Black Klansman in a theater?
No, it's on demand.
That'd be ridiculous.
Oh, okay.
How else can he bring us this timely review?
I was going to say, that's weird it's still in the theater. And then my follow-up was going to be, were you like looking around the whole time like, not me.
Guys, this
one
weekend,
of the good ones.
This weekend also I saw a movie you all should see. It's, I don't know if it's new. It's Citizen Kane. It's a good movie. Yeah.
I haven't heard of it.
It came out?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not on demand.
You did. Okay.
Kevin won't see it. It's in black and white.
Right. That's true.
All right, guys.
Why do some people tune out?
You guys, Toy Story 4. Sure, we've got a while to wait. It comes out June 21st, 2019. But Tim Allen was on Jimmy Fallon, and he told us about one of the new toys. Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves is going to be in Toy Story 4.
I bet he's a wooden soldier.
Wow. I mean, you just
because
with
you,
the...
Because you find him dull, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Try not to... Okay.
Thank you so much. So that's pretty interesting. He also said some other things during that interview that I'll fill you in a little bit. It's going to make you look at the movie The Santa Claus a lot differently. That's all I'm going to say. Tim Allen, what's happening?
Oh, yeah.
Is it butt stuff? It's butt stuff. Santa loves it in the butt.
Yep.
Some birthdays for you. Rita Ora, Tina Turner, Natasha Bedingfield, DJ Khaled, and Dave. Avery Bradley, guard for the first place LA Clippers.
Yes.
I mean.
I like that he puts first place in there.
It's really cute.
Mondays on the show mean great news, plus Andrew Siciliano recapping the NFL, this time week 12, and tickets to night one of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Plus, as we get ever closer, by the way, I think the first show, December 8th, is a week from Saturday, if I'm doing my math correctly.
Yep.
We'll throw in a pair of passes to the Bud Light backstage, too. So all that coming up this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You know what I found out? People are dumb. First story comes to us from Mississippi. A man crashes his truck into the courthouse for very bizarre reasons. Drove his truck into the courthouse on purpose.
Okay.
That's not going to make a good impression with the judge for whatever reason he's there.
Doesn't ram the outside of the building, but goes inside the building with his truck.
Okay.
28-year-old Keith Cavalier told the officers he intentionally crashed into the Harrison County Courthouse.
Can I guess?
Sure.
No parking out front.
Said he did it on purpose because it was the best way to let them know his drug paraphernalia had been stolen.
Oh, no.
Now, how does that even make sense?
It doesn't.
You can check my truck right now, right here.
It's right here.
My drug paraphernalia is gone.
I mean, he did make it convenient for the officers by bringing the truck
to
them.
Sure, that's true. He didn't make them travel. No one was hurt. He's been charged with driving under the influence of and malicious mischief. Because of damage to the building.
Oh.
That's an odd charge, isn't it?
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
Florida man breaks into restaurant, strips naked, eats noodles, plays bongos.
I'm sorry. All that?
That's the headline.
Yeah. What state was this in, Kevin?
Florida.
Huh. Stay in your lane, buddy.
Look, half of my People Are Dumb stories come out of Florida, too. Florida man breaks into restaurant, strips naked, eats noodles, plays bongos. Okay. This comes out of St. Petersburg, Florida. According to the Tampa Bay Times, a Petersburg police officer was investigating a break-in at a restaurant, and he was looking through the surveillance video that showed a burglar breaking in, eating a plate of chicken wings, drinking a beer inside the kitchen, and stole $500 worth of tips and laptop and a tablet and filling up another bag with beer. So while the cops were there, they went back into the security footage and looked a little bit earlier, one day before. Mm-hmm. And that's when they found the second guy, this guy. Apparently, it shows a different man riding his bike up to the restaurant, pedaling around the parking lot for 10 minutes, and then slipping in through the back gate. He opens the door to his shed after wandering around for a bit and removes a set of bongos. Now, that's question one. He's riding a bike.
Mm-hmm.
Is where the bongos in the shed? Was he carrying
the
bongos on the bike?
And why would that be the one? I mean, I don't know what else was in the shed, but why would that be the thing you'd steal?
Why would there be bongos in the shed?
Mm-hmm. Another good question.
I don't know. The man gains access to the restaurant and exits naked. He sits in one of the restaurant's picnic tables and digs into a bowl of instant ramen noodles, which he brought with him.
Wow.
He brought food with him to break into the restaurant.
Okay.
The video also shows him playing the bongos while nude. Police identified the homeless man who played the bongos in his birthday suit, but his name is not being released to the public. The restaurant is not pressing charges on the homeless man because he meant no harm and didn't actually steal anything from the restaurant. Just wanted to play his bongos in the nude.
Sometimes some people just have an entertaining streak in them. You know what I mean? They want to perform.
He doesn't know why. He just needs to play bongos.
That's right. Like your dance or die. This guy is Robin Noodles, naked, playing the bongos guy.
Next story comes out of Augusta, Georgia. A Georgia man is accused of breaking into an Augusta home, rummaging around, and then jumping naked into the bed with the two residents.
Seems very friendly.
It seems like if you're going to break into a house, maybe avoid the people that are in the house. But he did take off his clothes before he jumped.
Oh, God.
He's all about love.
29-year-old Christopher Lindner has been arrested on charges including criminal trespassing. He broke in last week, jumped into bed with the couple who were awake and watching TV.
Hey, what do you guys watch? Hey, you guys got Netflix?
You guys got that Storage Wars? Did you see that guy? They fled the home. So dude jumps in bed naked. The couple that owns the house runs. They leave the house and get out.
So now he's got the run of the place.
No, he's chasing them.
Oh, I see. All right.
I don't know why he's chasing them, but they're running down the street and naked man is chasing them. It says responding deputies found Lindner lying in a roadway after he fled. Authorities approached him again. And an aggressive Lindner was pepper sprayed to no effect.
Oh.
That's some strong stuff. Mm-hmm. Lindner then tried to enter a law enforcement vehicle, which was hit with when he was hit with a metal baton and arrested. So he was trying to get into the cop car. He was trying to break into the cop car before being arrested.
A lot of bad decisions.
Right?
Why does everybody hate naked people in your report here today?
The report says Lindner admitted being on meth.
What?
What a surprise, right? And this is my favorite. This comes out of Wisconsin. Racine, man allegedly tries to eat marijuana cigars while handcuffed.
Oh, dear.
A man named Daquan D-Day, that's his nickname, D-Day, Javai Burns, 23, allegedly tried to run away from police officers on Monday, but was caught. A Racine County Sheriff's Office deputy conducted a traffic stop. The guy goes up, he checks his information, the guy gives him a false name, cop goes back to his car, and then the guy just jumps out and makes a run for it. Deputies returned to the vehicle. They saw him running on foot. The deputy gave chase and eventually used a taser twice to bring him down. The deputy reported that while trying to restrain Burns, the suspect continued to resist and refused to put his hands behind his back after multiple commands. After complying with the demands, eventually, he was brought back to the squad car, and they put his hands behind his back, and he was leaning over the squad car. So the cop does a search and finds marijuana cigars, a box of marijuana cigars, and puts them on the top of the car, and the guy in his handcuffs, leaning over the cop car, starts to eat the pot. Cigars!
It was just going to go to waste.
He tries to eat a whole box with the cop sitting right there.
So weird.
Right? While attempting to flee, a law officer said that he had dropped a bag that controlled pills as well, lorazepam, oxycodone. So
I want to be friends with D-Day.
D-Day does good work. The sheriff's office said 1.4 grams of a substance that tested positive for THC was found inside the package. So, unfortunately, handcuffed and leaning over the car, he was unable to finish the weed cigars. Well, that's kind of a bummer, right? Did he think that he was going to be able to eat the whole box?
And
in handcuffs with the cop right there?
They're not edible. You're eating weed.
I mean, weed is edible.
Done correctly, yes. Right.
I don't think this guy did anything correctly.
No.
And that's why.
Okay, here's how I knew it was bad. Allie was on vacation last week, and she emailed the show to tell us how furious she was about the lady she had read about online. And I said, hold it. Wait, hang on to your rage. You're going to be back on the radio soon enough. We'll save it till Monday. So we did not touch this while you were gone.
Good name for an Allie podcast, by the way. Hold on to your rage with Allie McKay.
I love it. You guys, this blew my mind in a way that I wasn't prepared for. Listen, I understand mommy bloggers have a place in the world. A lot of times they'll do lifestyle posts, children rearing posts, that type of thing that new moms really get into. You can learn great tips, all of that. But I think a lot of mommy bloggers are garbage human beings that use their children in a way that is disgusting.
Now, the point, forgive me, I'm not in the mommy blogger circuit, but the point is to help educate other people who are either going through or have gone through what you have with being pregnant, having a baby, raising a kid, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Gotcha.
I'm going to tell you about a woman named Katie. She runs a popular Instagram account called Bauer Power Blog. She's got about 53,000 followers. She typically does parenting lifestyle tips, that type of thing, posts a ton of stuff about her children. So last week, she made a huge misstep, really, in posting about her son, Weston. The post started off very sweet. It's Weston's sixth birthday. So picture of cute Weston. Thankful for Weston today. My Weston was just the best baby, cuddly and easy, but a hard toddler, always on the move, slow to talk, which led to lots of crying. But he's one of the most helpful and sweethearted little boys. She goes on, ends it with, and when he hugs and kisses you, you believe it. And I'm like, all right, that's nice. I wouldn't post it because there's so many creeps online. Keep your kids offline.
Right.
But that's just
so far,
me.
It's just a proud mom
so
just
far,
loving on her son, right?
So
not a problem.
Let's throw this car into reverse as we are going 90 down the highway. Guys, I'm going to be perfectly honest. Instagram never really liked my munchkin, and it killed me inside. His photos never got as many likes.
What?
Never got comments. From a statistical point of view, he wasn't as popular with everyone out there. No. Maybe part of that was the pictures just never hit the algorithm right.
Oh.
Part might be because he was quote, the baby for a very short amount of time before LJ came along and then Max and then Ella. And people just like babies. I say all this because I want to believe it wasn't him.
Now, hold on. Could it be Weston? Is there anything that you've seen in the photos? Does he have a misshapen head or something?
Please hold. I want to say this because I want to believe it wasn't him, that it was on me. My insufficiency caused this statistical deficit.
What?
Because obviously my munch should get all the love. And his squinty eyes are totally adorable. So she's throwing that in like, maybe it's a squinty eye. Oh, my God.
Allie, hang on to your rage. Hang on to your rage.
So all we can do is this, right? Because I know that my munch deserves all the likes. So she's now asking everyone to like this post about Mason, her squinty-eyed little kid who ain't
doing much.
No,
wait, this is Weston is the squinty kid,
right? Oh, I'm sorry, Weston. Why am I calling him Mason?
Honestly, sorry, it's all kind of Mason. You
exactly.
Know what I mean? She named her five kids basically Mason.
So the other kid, she's doing this with all of her kids online, and Weston consistently
comes
up short.
The lowest number of likes, and people just, you know, it might be because he was only a baby for a short amount of time.
Sure.
Then she started having the other kids. People just don't like older kids as much.
They
gotta
put him up for adoption, right? He can't live in that family and bring the average down.
For sure. She then says, P.S., I wanted to clarify that I revealed this feeling because I know one day he will see the numbers and have to learn that his value is not in online approval. Everything about this is your online approval. You're upset that Weston isn't getting the likes
you're
that
teaching
you
him
want.
That's all that matters.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's the Tito Jackson of the Bowers.
Absolutely. This is a hard lesson for anyone to learn, and I'm thankful I have learned it. I hope you can be understanding and not take things out of context or believe that this in any way affects how I see or treat my children. All comments and well wishes I read to the birthday boy. Really?
She
read
does
this
love,
one. Your mom is awful.
Wow.
Run away, Weston.
She does love all of her kids except Weston, right?
She's got to. She's
mostly
got to.
Because of the algorithm, though.
Yeah. Right, sure.
Not but because he's heinous.
Here's one of my favorite things. So I read a bunch of think pieces, of course, on this woman. But this one...
this was Allie's whole Thanksgiving, by the way.
How many think pieces do you need on this woman?
Lacey Chabert and mommy blogger think pieces. What a vacation.
I'm just saying. But this one is from actually a friend of mine that is at Barstool Sports. But he said, gotta be real tough to turn six and learn mommy doesn't love you because you drag down her Instagram analytics and you F up the algorithm that gets on everyone's front page. You're supposed to be focused on earning mother's affection through penne pasta necklaces and hand-traced turkeys. Meanwhile, she's up at all hours of the night analyzing your like comment ratio and wondering if it's your squinty eyes that strangers hate or the fact that you weren't a baby long enough to garner the internet's favor. So, of course, people started posting about this, and people were writing, nothing shows a parent's love more than their careful scrutiny of their kids' web metrics as a proxy for their own worth. What a human disgrace of a mother.
I hope they bought Weston a loser cake for his birthday.
Oh, just an L.
Or just a big L on the cake.
Or just a cake with, like, zero and heart. Like
all zero likes. Oh, that's so sad. You guys, here's the thing. She has responded in a series of Instagram stories that have obviously expired, explaining it was about personal growth for her. She wanted to learn that the likes do not reflect on me. She made it worse.
Wow.
She made it
so
worse.
She wants to make sure her kid is to blame because she doesn't want to fail.
Essentially.
Wow.
I hate everything about this woman, and I want DCFS to take these kids away. If only Weston.
Let's be honest, all of them.
Let's take all of them.
Yeah.
This is
just,
you guys, it is insanity. So, way to go, Katie Bauer Power Blog.
I just commented on her last post, and I just put, I'm only here for Weston picks.
Okay, I know it's not Christmas time, but I just randomly got a craving for some fruitcake. Can you play some
fruitcake? Yeah.
All right. What you making? Fruitcake.
I mean, come on, it's after Thanksgiving, right?
Right. I'm down with this song.
Little Fred Schneider, little fruitcake.
Hit it, Steve.
What you making?
Fruitcake!
What
your bacon. Fruitcake. Candy cherries. Red dye number two. Green cherries. Green ones too. It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake.
Worst best song ever.
Pecans or walnuts. Citrus peel.
Okay, got it so far.
Lots of stuff.
Oh,
wait.
Add what you feel.
No, lots of stuff.
Add what you feel.
No, not you, Omar.
No, sir.
Definitely not you, Omar. DJ Omar Khan is in here. He's got the Christmas spirit. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. How are you guys?
I understand you were off. You were off last week, and you did a little outside decorating at the Khan Mansion.
I did, and man. I have a problem, guys.
Really?
Yeah. So,
is this an intervention?
I'm kind of one of these guys who I started about 4 years ago to try to, you know, get my Christmas decorations on, you know, and popping. And I've always strived for that old school look where you have the incandescent lighting and it has this warm glow to it and mm-hmm. it's super bright, super classy look, right?
Right.
And I couldn't get it from the LED lighting. And this is when I was a novice, mm-hmm. I just bought some stuff and I threw it on my house. Yeah. And I was like so disappointed in myself. I was like, man, what am I doing with my life, right? And so the second year, I did a little bit of research, and we're like, okay, you got to get the C9s, which the C9s are the mm-hmm. bigger bulbs, and then you can't go wrong with the C9s, LEDs, it'll do the trick.
Now, where are you getting your information from?
Online, YouTube videos.
I go
talk to the guy at Lowe's. So I get these and I put them on, and it takes a lot of work because per light, I have to put a clip on. Because I don't do my stuff all willy-nilly. It's got to be straight,
be
and it's
got to
be spaced out right. So
you're Clark Griswold
at this point. I don't get the look I'm looking for, guys, because the LED cannot provide that look, okay?
But so I thought that's why you went to the...
It just doesn't work. It just doesn't happen, guys, okay?
It's not bright enough?
Is that what you mean?
You want your house to be seen from space?
Well, not only that, but it also has this warm feel to it. I don't know how to explain it, except it has this warm feel to it.
Daddy, I don't know. The house doesn't look very good.
They talk trash,
the
man.
The neighbors look better.
Little bastards. Hey, good morning, if you guys are listening.
Kevin brings up a good point, Omar, that I want to ask as a background for this story.
Yeah.
Is your neighborhood one where there are a lot of decorations around and it gets a little bit competitive?
It's not like a candy cane lane where every house does it,
right.
but yeah, it does get competitive for sure.
For other people?
Oh, yeah.
Or
totally.
Just you?
Have you talked to the other people?
Well, they're not going by and saying, oh, that house sucks like I am.
So this is all a you problem.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Are you getting, because I am a fan of the C9s.
Okay.
Are you getting the smooth or the opaque?
Good question. So this year, Allie, I go, so the smooths weren't working out.
See,
because
that's
they had,
the problem.
They had a little blue tint to them.
Exactly.
Okay? So I tell the guy at Lowe's, I tells him, hey, man, I want this like warm glow feel.
Right.
He's all, dude, you got to go with these.
Right.
You can't go wrong with these. These are the ones you are looking for.
OG old school.
Yes.
Yes.
It's still LED, though. So
right.
Poor guy at Lowe's every time he sees Omar pulling into the parking lot.
Somebody else talk to Omar.
So I can connect a bunch of them, right?
Okay.
All right, sweet. So put them on the roof line, and I connect, I think it was like five different strands on there. I'm on there, you know. So, but I only do the bottom roof line because I'm not going to do the top. I want to see how it looks.
Sure.
It has the same stupid blue tint.
Oh,
tint.
No.
So then I go and I talk to the guy at Lowe's. I says, dude, how did you steer me wrong? He's just like, well, let's plug these in. And then he plugs in the incandescent ones and the other ones. There's no LED that's going to give me the look that I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had to go in the incandescent ones. Plug them in. They look awesome. So this is my first year where I'm doing it right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm like living my best life right now.
Right. Sure.
You know, it's like I go outside, I look at my house, and I don't want to barf. Okay?
Okay.
However, with that said, I also went to Home Depot, and this is why I might need the intervention here, is I went into Home Depot, mm-hmm. and I have these little 10-inch candy canes, you know, and I do a little decoration in there.
Please.
And I could never find the 27-inch ones.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to order them online, and they're always sold out. And then I went to my Home Depot, and had 25 of these boxes.
Whoa.
And I'm like, dude, jackpot.
Yeah, because you could do a little walkway.
Yes. So my whole driveway is just a bunch of candy
canes.
Oh,
I love it
so much,
Omar.
And I bought so many, I even did the neighbors.
Oh, because,
I was like, here you go. Great. Merry Christmas.
I love it.
So at the end of
listen
everything.
Listen to Allie guessing every detail before it comes up.
So.
at the end of this Christmas season, I just looked this up on my Amex, has a little thing where you can see how much you spend. Because when my wife loves going shopping with me during Christmas, because money's no object with me. Like I'm a Merry Christmas alcoholic. You know what I mean? I'm a Christmas-holic.
So it doesn't matter how much. It's not that you have endless money.
I don't even look at the total.
You don't even look.
I'm like, slap it down. Exactly. So this season alone, within like 2 days, almost about $1,000 in Christmas decorations.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
Sorry, kids. Daddy's tapped. No gifts.
Yeah, but my house looks amazing.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know, guys. I don't know.
Has one person come over and knocked on your door and said, you know what, dude? Nailed it.
Not yet.
It's early.
It's early in the season. They're going to come. But, oh, my God. You know what did happen the other day? Last night, a car did the slow roll.
Oh, sure.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much, Allie. I appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
If you had a disastrous conversation over the Thanksgiving dinner table, we're going to want to talk to you next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I can't imagine. Look. Here's the thing about Thanksgiving is sometimes it's tough to spend time with those friends and those family that you kind of have to, especially politically if you're not on the same page. So I'm sure there were some blows thrown at Thanksgiving this year. We want to hear about it next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we got some great news for you. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Monday.
Well, speaking of Thanksgiving, a lot of people doing really good things over the holidays, like celebrity chefs Guy Fieri, Tyler Florence. They joined up with Jose Andres in Chicago. Just kidding. In Chico. Good Lord. Welcome back. They met up on Thursday, and they helped prepare 15,000 Thanksgiving meals for a lot of the people that were displaced in the deadly campfire.
Let me tell you about this Guy Fieri, by the way. Mm-hmm. He has been active ever since the fires started.
Oh, yeah.
Feeding first responders and everything. I mean, this dude really stepped up for the state of California.
I want to show everyone I'm wearing a Guy Fieri shirt today.
Excellent.
You are.
Excellent.
Big fan.
We've discussed this on the air. Sure, he can get a lot of blowback. He's cheesy and his restaurant was like Applebee's. I've done segments with him. The man couldn't be kinder, nicer. Yeah. And this isn't the first time he's stepped up. He does this all the time. He does so much charity work. He is a lovely human being.
An American treasure.
That's nice to hear. Why doesn't he fix that hair then?
He doesn't have to. It's his brand.
Okay.
You leave him be.
I was talking to him about doing Drop the Mic last season. Mm-hmm. And we would talk on the phone about it because he was very nervous. Uh-huh. For a good reason. It's got Fieri rapping. And he doesn't want to be the joke.
Sure.
And I was trying to explain to him, you're in on the joke. It's part of the thing. And he's like, who do you think you wanted to battle? Like, you want me to battle? And I was like, you know, we're open to a lot of ideas. And I gave him a couple names. He goes, I have an idea. And I go, okay. And he goes, how about me versus the guy from Smash Mouth? I'm friends with him.
Because they kind of resemble each other. Yes. And the fire shirt.
And I was like, well, I can't beat that guy, Fieri.
Love it.
That's amazing.
We didn't get it together, but hopefully next season.
Oh, I hope you do.
Oh, you got to make that happen.
Yeah, I got to.
That's Talk awesome. About two all-stars,
That's
right?
That's awesome.
Two major all-stars.
Good stuff right there. But they served all of those meals. Wonderful. They said there were three kitchens in Chico serving those in need, as well as barbecues in nearby parking lots. 800-plus volunteers. So really good stuff. Also doing some good on Thanksgiving, Kaylee Cuoco. She's just, you know, taking a little walk by her California beach house and looks over and she sees a little baby sea lion in distress. So she called the 24-hour Channel Islands Marine and Wildlife Institute hotline, thinking there's no way anyone's going to be there on the holiday to
Did
help.
She have that, like, in her phone?
Right, that's what I was
I feel like
wondering.
This woman loves animals so much, she probably did. Yeah, absolutely. But they showed up. They helped. And they took all these pictures. She named the sea lion Sandy. And the animal will now be rehabilitated, released back into the wild. So she's just taking a little walk.
All right.
Trying to, you know, work off some of that stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
Sees a little animal in distress and says, not on my watch, bitch. And then took care of things.
Is that a quote or are you
no,
just
I
guessing?
No, I just. Okay. Yeah, I just said that. And last hour I told you about Tim Allen. He was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. What?
And that was my Tim Allen.
I'm sorry, again?
Really?
Isn't that more Scooby-Doo?
You guys don't remember that?
No.
At the end of Home Improvement, the theme song, it's like, and that was his whole gimmick.
Did it sound like that, though?
Yes, exactly like that.
It couldn't have.
You guys,
none of us remember.
Tim Allen.
Really?
He was like, he would be like, rah, rah,
rah. Okay, I remember that. Rah, rah, rah.
And then he would, that's number one. That's Scooby-Doo, what you're doing.
Yeah. But Scooby-Doo's what you were doing.
No,
he goes
like, it's like a dog. He was like, I don't know what the gimmick was, other than the fact that Tim Allen got busted with coke, and I think that's the coolest part about Tim Allen. But the second coolest part about Tim Allen is that he always used to be like, and that was his thing.
And that his real name is Tim Dick.
Oh, yeah, that is good. That is so the third best thing he does is that he goes, by the way, if I had my own drop machine, we just figured out what my first drop would be.
All right.
That one. Okay. Yeah. Well, we need to find it.
Yeah.
So we all know the movie The Santa Claus, where he accidentally causes Santa to fall off the roof Christmas Eve. Then he has to become Santa. Well, he told Jimmy Fallon something really disturbing.
Uh-oh.
That the original Santa Claus was a lot darker until former Disney honcho Jeffrey Katzenberg was like, you can't, no, we're not doing that. No, uh-uh.
So this must have been way before Bad Santa.
This is when, instead of him accidentally falling off the roof, Tim Allen shoots him because he thinks he's a burglar.
What?
He murdered Santa. But then Jeffrey Katzenberger was like, yeah, I'm not going to watch that with my family. You got to change that.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Can you imagine?
I want you to know this. I'm going to carry this with you for the rest of your days. No one makes fun of Tim Allen on my watch.
Okay.
And gets away with it.
All right.
Don't say anything. Just keep that in you. Okay?
Wasn't it?
That also. But the end of the theme song is...
Who stuck around for the end of a theme song on Tool Time?
And sang along.
By the way, it was my favorite part.
You're the worst.
Tim Allen for Kevin.
There's a little bit, but
okay.
I'm in when he's asking a question. I like it when he's pensive.
Wow. I sat next to him and another couple at Depeche Mode, and his friends were having the best time. Oh my, it's Depeche Mode. Get on your feet.
Right,
you with me? He sat there the whole time, not having any fun.
Let me guess, unhappy?
Looked unhappy during Depeche Mode.
Hmm.
Is that wrong?
No. Yes. Now it's just as wrong as his.
You're more of a Muppet than ever, Judson.
All right, some birthdays for you. Rita Ora, DJ Khaled. Rita Ora, DJ Khaled.
What?
There it is.
That's just you.
That's the real one.
Do it again.
That's from the show.
I hate it.
It's the best.
Jensen was dead on.
I was perfect.
Why do it again, Jensen.
All right, ready? Hold on. Here we go. Me first.
Perfect.
Yours just isn't long enough. Wow.
Yeah.
It's almost perfect.
I apologize.
It's fine, guys. I'm a good addition to the show is what I'm saying.
Yep.
I can't wait for that 1975 new album. When is that supposed to come out, Allie? It's got to be soon, right?
Yes.
Said Allie having no idea. Hey, Monday morning on the Kevin Bean Show means two words, you guys, and those two words are great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for
I'm going to start today in Colorado. A 9-year-old boy, Alex Rains from Lakewood, has gathered three generations of his family to help make a difference, knitting warm hats for anyone who might be stuck out in the cold this season.
Hmm.
Kid's 9, and he's knitting.
That sounds like the kind of kid you ordinarily would beat up, Kevin.
How dare you, sir?
I'm working on a hat for one of the many people who cannot afford a hat.
In case if they're out in the cold and... They don't have enough money to get a hat.
My grandnephew, Alex, who started a project, Alex's Warm Hat Projects.
I saw a news article of a person who was discharged from the hospital in a hospital gown and socks waiting at a bus stop in the snow.
Oh.
Imagine that. You leave the hospital and you have to wear that horrible gown.
Hey, sometimes that's all they have. I mean, we've seen terrible stories in L.A. where people get released from the hospital and sent out in just that flimsy gown.
Alex's aunt Judy drops them off at food banks and at different homeless shelters. They say they're up to 300 knitted caps.
My mom watched some videos and taught me how.
Except for Aunt Sherry. Everybody else learned to knit on YouTube.
Aunt Sherry's like, I know how to do it. What's wrong with you people?
I'm not teaching you. Watch a video.
Why don't you guys watch YouTube? I know what I'm doing.
I'm counting. And she knits real knit, not loom knit. We probably have over 300 now with everything in hats and scarves. So we just keep going.
Anybody can do small, simple things like this to help somebody.
Kid's nine.
Wow.
He's nine years old.
It's good.
Exactly.
Kid.
That's my great news.
I liked it. Well, my story is about a man named Gene. He was diagnosed with cardiomyopathy, congestive heart failure. He was eligible for a new heart, just waiting for a donor, and he waited a long time, 12 years.
Wow.
So after more than a decade of pain, discomfort, stress, he found out that his prayers had been answered. He would be getting a new heart. And in May, they said, it's coming. So just 6 months after receiving the transplant, Gene planned to participate in the annual turkey trot race on Thanksgiving Day in Aurora, Ohio. So Fox 8, the local affiliate there, ran a story on him like this man waited, you know, obviously 12 years. Now he's going to do this turkey trot.
Maybe don't push it.
Turkey trot.
Right.
Exactly. How great is this? So they air the story, and a family was watching, the Stebble family. They happened to watch it in real time, and they saw the name Gene flash across the screen and remembered the letter that they received from the recipient of their son Cody's heart. The letter was signed Gene. They didn't have a ton of different information, but they realized, okay, this is him. The timing, wow. It all adds up. It's perfect. The Stebble family lost their son Cody in April in a complete freak car accident. So they decided that they were going to go to the race and cheer on basically a part of their son that was living on in Gene.
So Thanksgiving morning, they came from Norwalk.
What a blessing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To meet the man who found new life in their son's death.
What a wonderful gift. Well, Mom, I want you to hear this first.
Brought to tears listening to Cody's heartbeat.
I don't know how to describe it. Like having him back for just a brief moment.
This, their first Thanksgiving without him.
Just a horrible, tragic accident. But at least something good came out of it, and that's what I try and think about every day.
Wow.
So they got to go, they got to meet Gene, they got to listen to their son's heartbeat living on inside of him, which is just beautiful.
It is. And please take note of this for folks who are tearing up hearing this story. This is why you have to be an organ donor,
kids.
Absolutely. Because it's ridiculous to bury, as sad as it is in that moment when you lose a family member, to bury working organs that can give life to somebody else.
That guy waited 12 years.
Yeah. Unbelievable story. No word on how he did in the turkey trot, but wouldn't you be pissed if you went and they're like, come on, where's Gene? He's just like pulling up the rear all slow. I mean.
It's turkey trot.
Right.
And that's my great news.
That is great news. Hey, remember the story we did a few weeks ago at Great News where somebody who was in the hospital ended up buying in on
the lottery,
lottery ticket that ended up winning?
Right.
And everybody was so surprised that the people who work at the hospital told the guy about it because the guy never would have known that he won. People were so stunned. Well, this is another one of those kind of stories where somebody might not have known their contribution was so valuable. But there's a homeless guy in Canada named Adam Gillian. And he was scrounging through a trash can and came across a ratty picture of Bambi, the Disney character Bambi. So he took it to an antique dealer named Alexander Archibald to see if it was worth anything. So Archibald looked at it and thought it was a replica of an animation cell, maybe from the 80s or 90s. He thought he could clean it up a little bit. It might sell for $80, maybe $100 if he got lucky. So he paid the homeless guy $20 for it. But when he took it out of the frame and flipped it over, he discovered that there was a certificate of authenticity on it, and it had a copyright date of 1937.
Wow.
Which, by the way, was 5 years before Bambi even came out in the theaters.
No.
So this was an early working model of what Bambi would end up being that somebody had obviously done at the Disney Animation Studio. So now he realized he had something that was worth a lot more than he anticipated, and he knew it was going to sell for a bunch of money, and he was not going to take it all. So then he went on a mission to try to track down the homeless guy who had brought it into him so that he could split whatever he sold it for with him. And it ended up selling for $3,700.
Wow.
So he literally drove around Edmonton looking for people and talking to other homeless people to try to track this guy down. And eventually he did, and gave him a check for $1,600.35, threw in an extra $100, bought him lunch, and then said in an interview, "I was homeless when I was in seventh grade. I had to help pay my parents' bills, so I had to sell antiques on the side. That's how I got started in the business. But that's why I have such sympathy for other homeless people." He also started, as a lot of these stories end up, a GoFundMe page to help Gillian get off the streets and get a hotel for the winter. And the account quickly exceeded its $10,000 goal.
Oh, wow.
So finding that Bambi cell really turned this guy's life around. And it's all because of the generosity of the antique dealer who decided that he was going to share the money with the man who brought in the cell. Isn't that a wonderful story?
It is, except for the... wrote him a check. I mean,
this guy's going to do with a check. Maybe just burn it to stay warm. And that's why. Before we get into the inappropriate or unpleasant or downright racist things that were said at your Thanksgiving table, you, the Kevin and Bean listener, and take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go around the room real quick and find out how everybody's Thanksgiving dinner was. Kevin, how was yours?
Fantastic.
You had family in from out of town, right?
Yep.
So you hosted?
No, we have a neighbor who hosts every year.
Nice.
And makes like 4 turkeys and just goes way over the top. And we always say, "Thank you so much. This is so great." And they're like, "Oh, no, we love it. It's our pleasure. We'd be upset if you didn't come over."
Awesome.
Right?
You're the best. So no wonder you won't ever move.
So then we go home, and the house is very clean. And that's a very nice thing.
Do you ever see those people outside of Thanksgiving?
Okay, yeah,
you
do. Neighbors,
so you're not just there sponging that for that big meal once a year.
I mean, it is mostly just that day, but it's a longer day. Mm-hmm.
How about you, Allie?
I went to, every year I go to Thanksgiving with the Willards, the lovely Fred Willard and his daughter Hope hosted it this year because it's the first year that Mary Willard, the matriarch of the family, she passed away. So it's the first year without Mary. So
that must have been tough.
It was tough, but Hope did... the most amazing meal, like shockingly, because for weeks leading up to it, she's like, "Allie, I don't know how to cook a turkey. This is going to go real bad." It was wonderful, and it was lovely, and it was just a celebration of all the lovely people that I just hold so dear.
No one that's your LA family.
That's my LA family, yeah. Because during when I worked on TV, it was always November sweeps. You cannot leave during the month of November,
right?
So I couldn't fly to where my parents had moved to. So
but this year you
took
had the time, so you flew.
No,
Did anyone say anything offensive or racist?
No. Oh. I think that's just Jensen's family.
One time.
One time you'll always remember. This is what we want to get into, by the way. And let me just read this before we hear what happened to Jensen. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If anyone said something at the Thanksgiving table that started a fight or somebody got stabbed with a fork because of. For many Americans, regardless of politics, race, gender, or creed, the Thanksgiving dinner table is an emotional minefield hiding underneath a kitschy tablecloth. As turkey time draws near, expectations and worries about relatives' behavior begins to mount, while the media doles out advice about how to manage tensions. In truth, the holidays are one of the few times when an assortment of people with different political beliefs are apt to meet in real life. And this year, more than ever, I would imagine, families who can't even stand each other on Facebook have to sit across from each other at the dinner table. And you know inevitably the news is going to come up when you're having a conversation,
but
right?
Don't you sort of, if you know you're in that situation, don't you sort of say, "Let's just not talk politics
today. Steer clear.
Let's just not bring that up."
I think you'd have.
Although you're right, Bean. I assume there's like one dude or one girl that just has to say something.
Can't help themselves.
Even if you come up with that kind of deal.
All right, Jensen.
Well,
you don't sound happy about this.
First off, I had a great Thanksgiving this year with no rude comments or racism. I'm happy about that with my family. But in the early 90s, I had an uncle who was quite a man. He was nice to me, I guess is something you say.
Sure.
But he was from that generation. He passed away 20-something years ago. He was from the generation where things would just fly, I think. Like,
yeah, no matter what you said, it was fine.
Yeah, racist comments, I think, just lived.
Sure.
And one time in like 92, 93, we were at the Thanksgiving dinner table, and he was talking about a man he worked with at the junkyard, and he threw out the N-word.
Oh, no.
In the middle of the Thanksgiving dinner.
At the Thanksgiving dinner.
And I was young enough to be like, oh, God. Like, I knew it was the worst thing I've ever heard. And,
now, was his friend at the junkyard Fred or Lamont? Do you remember?
Yeah. So I was like, I remember being, you know, I was too young to be like, oh God, like I was too young to really address it.
But you know, inside, like that wasn't right.
That was right. And there were people at the dinner table who were like, hey, come on, you know, like sort of tried to calm him out of it. But it was just like, it was so weird to hear something so offensive at the Thanksgiving dinner table.
Well, some people would argue that everything about Thanksgiving is offensive, though. Really, and if that conversation comes up, if you've got your, you know, you got your liberal college daughter home who wants to school you on Indigenous people, that could turn into an unpleasant conversation as well. When you're just trying to enjoy some turkey.
Yeah. So you're saying that it was on brand.
It's on brand.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right. What?
Hey, Muggs just stepped into the studio in front of the microphone.
Muggs was invited.
Do I turn on his microphone?
Okay. Muggs was invited. I asked him to come in because before we go to your calls. Muggs apparently, what did it get a little bit frosty at your house this year, Muggs?
Oh, yeah. Mama Muggs and I got into it. Oh.
Yeah.
All about Peppa Pig, though.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
What's the not like?
I figured it would be Dodger.
What's the dispute about Peppa Pig?
Well,
she's awesome.
Well, the argument was that Peppa Pig takes place in Australia, the actual cartoon. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, Mom, it's a British television show that takes place in Britain. And
That's what I thought, too.
They're British pigs. No, no, they're Australian. And she just wouldn't let it go. She just got hammering it. I'm like,
First of all, kudos for having a really important conversation.
Right? Yeah.
How do you turn that into a fight?
Well, especially my two-year-old daughter was right there, too. She happened to be watching Peppa Pig on the phone. You know, you have to keep her occupied at the time. So it kept on going. She wouldn't let it go. I'm like, all right, Mom, you know what? I'm going to bring out the decider, which is Wikipedia.
The decider. Bring out the decider.
Which I brought out, and sure enough, Peppa Pig is a British animated television show taking place in Britain. No, no, it's Australia. I'm like, Mom, you're like Donald Trump now. You are.
Oh, no.
You are.
Way to go. Thank you.
You're pretty much claiming fake news now, Mom. This is. I have proof.
Oh,
calm
you
down.
Had to you had to bring President T into
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It got heated. Heated.
Does it just
Peppa
go back
Pig.
After that? Does it just go back to dinner? Like
yeah,
normal?
Just went back. In.
Okay. Super creepy.
Yams were delicious.
You didn't have to go sit at the kids' table or anything after that, did you?
Nope.
See, I just think in general, if you're bringing up the president at the table as an insult, you're asking for it. That's not how you settle that argument. You don't make it better.
Also, I like my Peppa Pig separate from my politics.
So. I agree. Mm-hmm. All right. I don't know what we're going to get. 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for your calls. Is my screen working, Kevin?
Yes.
Is your screen working?
Yes.
Do we have anyone to go to right now?
Not right this second.
Okay.
No.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Somebody said something over the Thanksgiving table this year or another year. Tell us the story. We can't wait. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Remember the time we were taking calls on Thanksgiving disasters, Kevin, and a guy called in whose grandma died at the dinner table?
Yep.
That's not a good Thanksgiving.
I don't think that's what you want.
Although that's more pumpkin pie for everyone else, I guess. Sure. We're talking about...
Always looking on the bright side.
Definitely.
That's what I'm about. I'm Mr. Positive. Right. Talking about somebody said something inappropriate at Thanksgiving this year or a previous year. We want to hear about it. Jensen had an incident some years back where an older relative thought it was fine to use the N-word.
Yeah.
Kind of put a pall over the holiday a little bit. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we get started with our new friend, Lala. Lala is in Santa Clarita on line 4, please, here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Lala.
Hey, guys. So my brother-in-law and my sister have been married for 6 years now. And my aunt and her whole family came into town from Arizona. And she found out that my brother-in-law is Republican, and they got into it over immigration and how you're not illegal, that you're just doing an illegal crime.
But don't they, but don't they understand that politics is so divisive, and don't bring it up?
Yeah, they got into it for a good 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, the kids were upstairs playing and didn't hear any of it, but it got pretty heated. Mm-hmm.
Did anyone just settle it like we settle things now and just get pepper spray?
No.
You should have pepper sprayed the kids, actually, to make it news appropriate.
No, my dad actually got in and was like, okay, guys, let's change the subject.
All
and
right.
Things kind of simmered down after that.
Good
gotcha.
Man.
Yeah, it's not what you're looking for at Thanksgiving, that's for sure. Appreciate the call, Lala. Thank you so much for listening. Let's go to Miguel San Ramon, please, line 2, up next on the Kevin DeBeat Show.
Hey, Miguel.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What's going on, man?
Well, everybody in my family knows that I'm an atheist, and I have an aunt who always wants to save my soul. So every time we were doing prayer and she started talking about how, you know, hopefully that I could be saved and I can find the Lord and all this good stuff.
But she's basically talking to you instead of God?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so when I told her, I'm like, why do you do that? You know, what I do doesn't affect you. She's like, well, you know, it's because of all this ungodliness in Northern California. That's where all the fires happen up there.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a bit upsetting. So I ended up in the kids' table on my own because I was like, I'm not going to do
this. Miguel, you are responsible for the death of over 70 people.
Apparently, yeah.
Acres and acres of home damage. Saw you, Miguel.
But you'll have plenty of time to think about it in hell when you're gone. Thank you for listening to the right show. Thank you. We appreciate it. Let's go to Caroline, line 1. Jensen, I think you're going to find this story very familiar.
Okay.
Hey, Caroline.
Hey. Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going well.
Good
morning. Thank you.
So, yeah, so just like Jensen, so this was like back in the late 80s, mm-hmm. and me and my parents were at Aunt Sarah's house, Thanksgiving, and I can't remember, you know, anything. I was really young, so I can't remember anything else in the conversation other than my sweet Aunt Sarah dropping the N-word. And like Jensen, I was, you know, too young to say anything, but in my head, it was shock, and I was like, oh, my God, I had no idea Aunt Sarah was a racist. It was such a shock. Wow.
Yeah, and it's crazy that it took – I mean, look, there are still people who use that word, but it's crazy that it took so long for it to be as tamped down as it has been. You know what I mean? Like, even in the 80s, even the 90s, even the 2000s, it was so much more common than it is today. I think we're starting to get a handle on it. Am I being overly optimistic by saying that?
Not at Caroline's Thanksgiving dinner.
In our
well,
bubble.
At least this was a long time ago.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Yeah. I was going to say, like Jensen, my answer, I guess, was on brand.
Yeah, on brand. She's just killing it. Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
We're going to talk to our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network coming up right after 8 about this weekend's action. Surprisingly, Andrew has not been insufferable in a year where the Browns actually win some games. He's been holding it together pretty well, I think.
It's not like they're going to win the Super Bowl, though.
No, I know. But, yeah. I mean, they won again yesterday, and that used to be an earthquake. And now it's just like, oh, the Browns won another game.
That's because of Condoleezza Rice, new head coach.
Correct. New head coach, exactly. So we'll catch up with Andrew coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Monday and free stuff to give away.
Yeah, I think we all feel the same way about Jim Jeffries, one of the funniest human beings on the planet, right?
Uh-huh.
And a new American citizen. We keeping you up, Jensen?
No,
okay?
No.
All right.
Here's the thing. When you take time off of getting up at 4:30,
uh-huh. right.
and then you do it again after a couple days off,
it's rough.
It really takes a toll.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah.
Kevin and I would like to hear your complaints after you've served about 30 years.
Oh, God. Well, I'll let you know.
Yeah, it's been a few months.
But it's just me broadcasting to my wife.
Your wife.
Yeah, because no
shed.
One else is listening. Yeah.
I like it. Well, here's the reason I bring up Jim Jeffries. Because he has a show at the theater at Ace Hotel on April 5th. How about you get a jump on it? Be a caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067. And you're going to get a pair of tickets to see Jim Jeffries at the theater at Ace Hotel April 5th, 2019. Tickets are available right now at axs.com. Were you guys pretty upset back in June when we found out Jerry Springer
Jerry Springer Show would not be airing anymore?
I mean, they had 27 years worth of reruns.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like they needed to make new shows.
Yeah. It had been on, he's right, since 1991.
Wow.
End of an era.
When you tune in, you can't tell whether that show was taped this year
or
2000.
It's so true.
Remember at the end, he would say,
I don't think that was Jerry.
Oh, okay.
that was someone else. Well, he's back, you guys. He is not going to be doing the Jerry Springer Show. He is returning to syndicated TV next fall in his own courtroom show from NBC Universal. He's going to be Judge Jerry. He's going to hear cases and render a verdict.
Is he a lawyer?
He's not a judge.
No.
He has a law degree.
He is. He does have a lawyer, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's all you need to play a judge on TV.
He said, for the first time in my life, I'm going to be called honorable. I mean, this is... yes.
I love Jerry.
We've had Jerry on many times. He's fascinating.
Great. I love him.
Absolutely.
And he's a foreigner, too, by the way. Remember?
Born in Britain. Where's he from?
Britain. England, yeah.
Really? Cool story. It's already been sold in 75% of the country to major station groups, so get ready next fall for Judge Jerry.
I'd buy that in a second. That's if I was a network, I'd be like, Jerry Springer is a judge. Sold.
Absolutely.
And there are a ton of those judge shows of people I've never heard of. I have no idea who they are and why they have a show. I mean, Jerry Springer at least got a built-in name and audience.
Does Steve Bilkos still have his show?
Steve Wilkos, yes.
He sure does.
Yeah, they're going to actually be filming in the same area at the Stanford Media Center in Connecticut.
Now, will Judge Jerry allow the defendant and the accused? No, wait, the defendant and the
plaintiff.
Plaintiff, thank you.
Yeah.
Will he allow them just to settle it, throwing chairs at each other?
I mean, I hope so.
Yeah. I hope at some point defendant's like, get a load of these, right? At some point.
And I had sex with your sister. Come on out.
You are the father. That's Maury. I was just
also
giving you.
Also in the same area. Same they area. All film at the same area.
They all film in Connecticut?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stanford Media Center. Yeah.
It's a strange thing to know.
Yeah, it's odd.
It is weird.
Okay.
Maury used to film in New York because when I was on the Maury Povich show, it was in New York.
Hold on.
What?
I'm sorry. Wait, stop. Hold up, please. Hold up.
This has to do with the Clippers, too.
What?
So, my first ever job in media was Extra Sports 1150. I did the sports updates for John Ireland and a guy named Derek Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It's when Steve Mason was taking some time, so Derek Hall was John Ireland's partner at the time.
Too much background.
Okay. We did a whole thing about when are the Clippers going to win? Sorry about
15
that.
Seconds in, he's bored.
When are the Clippers going to win their first game? And I was like, you guys are awful. Just have some faith in the Clippers. And they're like, fine, live on a billboard until the Clippers win their first game. And I was like, okay. So I became Allie McBillboard, and I lived on a billboard until the Clippers won. So Maury Povich had me out to do the show because they did a show on weird things you did to gain notoriety. So it was me up there. There was a guy that used to sell his pee on the internet for people to pass drug tests.
So you and the guy that
sold his pee. Okay. And then the other was a family whose father had cheated on their mom, so they put a big A adulterer sign in their front yard. So, yeah, I was there and I was on the show, and they actually had to stop the taping at one point to tell me, and I quote, Allie,
if
you could stop rolling your eyes as they're telling their story, because we're catching you on camera.
But other two are so shameful.
They were disgusting human beings.
You did a radio bit. Like, they did shameful things.
Yeah, but I was on Maury Povich. No big whoop.
Well, where do we get those clips?
Right. We need to find it, right?
Okay. Well, look, audience is out there.
Absolutely. Those were the days.
Way to stick it, Allie. Way to stick it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You guys, the Lion King teaser. Did you see it?
I sure did.
I did not. I did, yeah.
That's real good.
90-second teaser for the upcoming Lion King remake. It was the second biggest one-day debut ever with 224.6 million views worldwide.
In 24 hours?
In 24 hours.
I got a hot take real quick.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Really?
How dare you?
But I'm
now,
confused.
Now, hold on. The original?
No. The original's
or the
great.
Live? Okay.
No, the trailer. Here's the thing.
Trailer,
it's
okay.
not live action.
They no, keep going, that's well, no. one of my
it's,
questions.
It is
yeah.
weird.
It's yeah, a computer-generated CGI. Film. Also, yeah. it's just the Lion King cartoon done in like a weird CGI.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that's going to be the case for the movie, but the trailer is a shot-by-shot remake of the trailer for the original animated Lion
yes.
King.
Well, I doubt that they shot things just for the trailer, so these have to be clips from the movie, which looks like an exact replica of the cartoon.
Well, how are you going to switch it up? You don't. It's a basic story.
I like
Jungle
Book.
Why would I see it then?
Yeah. Because it looks amazing, and Donald Glover and
but if it's exactly
James
the
Earl
same,
Jones,
you've seen it.
Yeah. Beyonce. What is wrong with you people?
I don't know. I'm real eh.
Well, I said it was the second biggest one-day debut ever. Do you know what had 238 million views in a 24-hour period following its debut?
Kevin Bean's Rockstar?
It's a great question.
Both.
Great.
Very good. No.
Star Wars something?
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
It was the first trailer for Avengers Infinity War.
Ah.
All right.
Sure.
All right. Well, this is all very upsetting because I watched it and I cried and I thought it was beautiful and I cannot wait until July 19th of next year. However, of course, I posted the trailer and immediately people are like, you know what this could use? Some Omar editing. No, it cannot. We're going to have to play that for you, Jensen. The most upsetting day of my life occurred right here on the show. Playing the trailer for Winnie the Pooh.
And that's from a woman who lived on a billboard.
Right? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I watched her die.
Yeah. My soul literally leave my body. I was so pumped to play the Winnie the Pooh trailer.
Yeah, the sad one.
Because, oh, and I just, tears, and oh, I explained the whole thing, but do we have it?
We have it, yeah.
What to do, what to do, what to do. What to do indeed. Who? Christopher Robin.
I lost my ass.
Omar so does apparently Winnie the Pooh.
Omar just edited that in, and that's all she needed.
Yeah.
I saw that over the holiday weekend, too.
Christopher Robin?
Yeah, it's cute.
It's cute.
It's not great. It's good.
What is wrong with all of you? What do you
there
love?
Was less farting in it than I expected.
All right. Happy birthday, DJ Khaled, Tina Turner, Rita Ora, Nasha.
Hey, you want to see Smashing Pumpkins, 30 Seconds to Mars, Third Eye Blind, Greta Van Fleet, Bad Religion, AFI, and more? You can. We've got tickets for night one of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018, Saturday, December 8th, that you can win in about 20 minutes or so from right now here on K-Rock. First, though, what does Monday mean? Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and the Red Zone on DirecTV. Hey, Andrew, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. How was your Thanksgiving weekend?
Very good, thank you.
It was nice. Did you travel? Did you go back to D.C.?
I was able to get back to D.C., able to get back here safely before the storm. It's always nerve-wracking, but yay, planes landed on time.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it was like with that snowstorm throughout the Midwest yesterday. How many flights ended up being canceled? Hundreds and hundreds for people who were trying to get back home, right?
That's why I come back on Saturday morning.
Yes. Smart man.
Very smart. Less family time, better, too, by the way.
Exactly.
Well, Andrew, I don't know where you want to start, but I'm going to propose we start with Philip Rivers yesterday for our Los Angeles Chargers. I wasn't watching the game, but I was seeing your updates as he was 20 for 20, 22 for 22, 24 for 24. And I was thinking, what the hell is going on out there?
There are a lot of quarterbacks that have really good first halves, like Cam Newton, I believe, was 15 of 15 or 16 of 16 yesterday at the half.
Right.
And like Baker Mayfield was 13 of 14. So there are a lot of quarterbacks that can do the perfect thing in the first half. And then it just never materializes again when they come out of the locker room. Phillip came out in the third quarter and kept going perfect. I mean, these weren't all checkdowns. I mean, he got forced out of the pocket a couple of times, hit guys on the sideline or hit guys as he's about to, you know, get sacked and guys are falling out of bounds. And he was perfect. And honestly, this is not going to turn into the Chargers don't have a lot of fans here. Why don't more people go to the StubHub Center thing? But it's going to. Phillip's amazing.
He is, yeah.
And this team is really, really good. And you guys know I'm partial to the Rams. It blows my mind that more people don't want to go to that building and see that team. I know Melvin Gordon got hurt, but that team is really good.
Not to mention seeing them at StubHub is amazing because you're so close.
Do you think it's the bolo ties?
It could be the bolo ties. No, the bolo ties would make them awesome. Are you kidding me? This is what Philip Rivers does. So Philip Rivers has like a pimped out, I don't want to call it a van. It's not really a stretch limo. It's like this van / truck. It's a bigger vehicle. He still lives in San Diego, people, because that's where his kids are. Mm-hmm. He has like 17 kids. And he still lives in San Diego. And he gets a driver to drive him back and forth from Costa Mesa to San Diego every day.
So he can
sit in the back of this truck, this van, whatever it is, and watch film and do his job.
Wow.
Yes, and he wears bolo ties, and he still throws the ball like that old man at the park.
He has a really weird delivery, yeah.
He has an awful delivery.
He really does.
Well, we could all use it.
Like Jim Furyk has that awful golf swing, or Charles Barkley, although he just corrected it, has that awful golf swing.
Sure.
And you want to just hug the guy and say that's not how you do it. But he does do it that way, and he may be in the Hall of Fame one day.
Well, how many did it end up being? 25 consecutive passes before he missed one, right?
25 consecutive passes. Now, one of them was like a little flip to a running back, to Melvin Gordon or whatever, cutting in front of him. That now counts as a pass. Well, it's always been a pass, but yes, 25 of 25. And the Chargers now wait to see how bad Melvin Gordon's knee injury is. They're praying he can come back by the end of the season. My colleague Ian Rappaport says that is at least the initial diagnosis, but if he does not come back, that's a big deal.
I'll just bring it up because nobody else has. They were playing the Cardinals.
But the Cardinals get out to a 10-0 lead.
Yep.
And don't overlook the fact that Josh Rosen is from Manhattan Beach, which is only, you know, like an hour in traffic from Carson. And so,
okay,
you know, that was a big deal.
We are talking to our friend Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone Channel and NFL Network's Up to the Minute. I was all prepared about three quarters of the way through that Giants-Eagles game to have another conversation with you about what's wrong with the Eagles. But that second half, man, it was like a completely different team, wasn't it? And the Giants' woes continue. How much longer, by the way, is Eli going to be quarterbacking that team? Or is that a dumb question to ask because it's not his fault?
Well, I mean, the Giants management has shown a stubbornness to stick with him. I'm all for Eli, but I do think this should be it. I think it would behoove everyone to simply move on, but I'll believe it when I see it. They had that team on the ropes. We were sitting here this morning. We would sit here this morning and write the Eagles obituary again.
Yeah.
The defending champions would, in essence, be dead. And I'm actually going to tip my cap to Odell Beckham Jr.,
wow,
whose mildly passive-aggressive comments after the game were dead on. And that is the Eagles had Malcolm Jenkins and a bunch of dudes who were banged up and off the practice squad in the secondary. Why didn't we throw the ball? And why was Saquon Barkley barely on the field in the second half? I don't know what the Giants were thinking. They should have won that game. They're not that good. I mean, let's just cut to the garbage here. But they're not that good, but they had the Eagles on the ropes.
Yep.
And they let them off the hook. And look, if the Giants could have won, they would have been three in a row, and it would have been the ridiculous long shot, but we actually could have sat here today and plotted out how the Giants could make the playoffs. And that's absurd.
That is absurd, yeah.
That is. All right, one more question, Andrew, and that is another legendary franchise that may have to look at blowing things up is Green Bay. Who do we blame there? What's going wrong with their season? Because I consider them a perennial playoff team. At this point, it's unclear whether they're going to make it.
No, they're not going to make it. I'd be stunned if they make it. And I do think that that Mike McCarthy is coaching his last 5 weeks of the Packers. I think that's kind of accepted now, but I'll believe it when I see it, kind of with the Giants as well. Here's the crazy thing about this. Aaron Rodgers is playing well, but he's missing a lot of throws that he or any other good quarterback should make. It is no longer sacrilegious to say that Aaron Rodgers should have played better.
Whoa.
Because he has left touchdowns on the field the last couple of weeks. You can hear it in his own voice last night on the podium. He knows he has to play better, and that's not just a bunch of cliches. He made two bad throws late in the fourth quarter yesterday, and both can be true. The Packers have issues and likely are going to change coaches, and Aaron Rodgers needs to play better. It's not sacrilegious
to say.
But it is weird to hear you say that about a clear future first round Hall of Famer. You know, you just don't expect that.
He's making them in situations or making those bad throws where you go, what was that? Because go back to the Seattle game last week on Thursday night. He made a couple of wild throws in the first half where you stand at the table and go, that's the guy I'm going to line up in Canton to see enshrined in the Hall of Fame. Right. And then in the fourth quarter, when they need these throws to keep the drive alive or to win the game against Russell Wilson, he doesn't make them. And he makes them, like, he throws them into the ground. He threw one ball into the ground last night where he's just like, what is that?
Yeah, it's a fascinating soap opera to watch it unfold every week, Andrew. And you do a fantastic job on the Red Zone Channel on DirecTV every Sunday, and of course on your Up to the Minute show on the NFL Network as well. We always enjoy catching up with you on Monday, and we'll do it again next time. Thank you, sir.
106.7 K Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:23.
Week from Saturday night, you guys. Bad Flower. AJR, Interrupters, just getting warmed up. Then AFI, Bad Religion, Greta Van Fleet, who are going to rock. And then Third Eye Blind. But then 30 Seconds to Mars and Smashing Pumpkins. That is a hell of a night. It's K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018. Saturday, December 8th at the Forum. A few seats available at Ticketmaster.com. But if you want to win them, you can play a game. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. I don't want to give anything away here, but the game won't take long.
Ooh, okay? Good.
It won't take long.
So you get tickets, and you also get Bud Light backstage passes as well.
Yeah, and it rages backstage, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I mean, it rages. Hey, we have a call?
Yeah, we have Mole. How long has it been since we talked to Mole?
Hey, Kevin Bean. Hey, Kevin Bean. Hey, Al, you know who it is?
It's Yeah, we said it's Mole. We said Mole's on the phone, yeah.
It's Mole.
Right. Oh, hey, Mole.
We got it.
Hey, can I play the game for that Bud Light?
No, it's not a game for Bud Light.
Yeah, we're not giving away beer. It's a backstage. They're sponsoring the backstage at the show.
Oh, okay. I don't even understand what that is. Okay. But listen, I'm just really quick calling to check if there's any dietary restrictions you guys might have for Thanksgiving dinner this week.
Oh, no.
Wait, no, here's what I got. Oh, wait, I know. I know Bean can't have mangoes or muscle relaxers, and Kevin gets all backed up when he has rock cocaine or parsnips. Ali, you like beets or Demerol?
I can bring both, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Mole, I hate to be the one to bring this up, but Thanksgiving was last week.
I get it.
Last week.
Like, giving thanks is so 2000 or whatever. That's so last week. But listen, man, I got a lot to give thanks for this year, so I'm celebrating, okay?
Okay.
I'm thankful. Let me tell you what I'm thankful for,
yeah,
okay?
Please.
I'm thankful you could buy a tool on the internet to take off that wheel boot the city keeps putting on your van again.
Oh, no.
I'm thankful I scored some sweet Dodgers World Series tickets from a buddy of mine just now.
What game? When is the game?
It's coming up. I don't know. Okay.
All right, good.
I'm thankful for Watermelon Jolly Ranchers. What else? So much. There's so much. What are you guys going to say your toast for?
Okay. Well, again, we all did Thanksgiving last Thursday, although some of the stuff you've described that you're going to be having at your party makes it sound like we should have another one this week. I mean, the Demerol alone makes me want to come to yours.
Wait, did I miss Thanksgiving or Friendsgiving? Because I'm not celebrating.
They're both gone.
That's a lame fake show.
Thanksgiving is?
No, Friendsgiving.
Friendsgiving. Okay,
I'm not giving friends any of my friendly thanks. That show's fake. If it was a coffee shop, where were the Norah Jones CDs and where were the people in the bathroom ODing on fentanyl? Not a coffee shop.
It does seem fake now that you point that out. That's a good point.
But I think Thanksgiving was last Thursday, and then you do Friendsgiving like Friday or Saturday of last week.
I missed the real Thanksgiving is what you guys are trying to say.
Yes. I'm sorry to say that is true. Yes.
Everything I made this year is going to be edible, meaning it won't give you food poisoning. Most of it. It's all stuffed with narcotics. Oh, wait. Here's a fun fact. My cranberry sauce is what killed that singer lady from the Cranberries.
Oh, no. No, don't say that.
That's Thanksgiving. Oh, come on. Grow up, you guys. Come on.
I feel like Mole was confused, you guys.
Oh, sweet.
He seemed pretty sharp.
Yeah. Seemed with it to me.
not this coming weekend, but the one after. We're all going to be at the Forum for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, Saturday and Sunday, December 8th and 9th. Tickets are on sale now. We're giving away not only tickets for night one right now, but Bud Light backstage passes as well. And we're doing it with a game that we like to call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
Let's hear the extended long version remix. Okay.
I didn't know that's
second.
What you wanted.
Yeah,
okay.
We want the whole thing. Okay. Yeah. Just a second! All right, so we're going to play 1 second. I think it's the first second of a song by one of the bands. Now, what did we decide? We're going to give them a hint by telling them what the band is?
We should have this conversation off the air. I believe we did decide that we were going to tell them the band, and then they just have to give us the song title.
Well, that sounds easy peasy. All right, who's our first contestant, please?
Our first contestant is Eric in Thousand Oaks. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
All right, so you understand the game. We're going to tell you the band, and then you're going to have to tell us which song by that band or artist we're playing, and then you're in the drawing to win the tickets, okay?
Sounds beautiful.
All right, yours is going to be, we're starting off big, yours is going to be a Third Eye Blind song. This is the first second of a Third Eye Blind song. What song is it? I wish you.
One more time. I
wish you. Wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend.
That's the lyrics, yes.
What's that called?
Dang. Is it Jumper?
Yes!
Yes.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. Nicely done.
I was not expecting him
Same.
To pull that out.
Yeah.
That was very well done, Eric.
I want to let you know that when that song starts at Acoustic Christmas, you'll see me screaming at the top of my lungs like an Ed Sullivan Beatles.
Listen,
number.
We're joking about Third Eye Blind. That song's a banger.
That song is a hot bop.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I don't care what
Wait,
any of
you. Did you say hot bop?
Yeah, that's a bop. B-O-P.
Bop.
It's a hot bop.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to react in that way.
Dude, okay. Do you want to like maybe be in the front? We can move up to the front for that.
Absolutely.
Let's do it, Jensen.
I will be screaming.
Yeah.
And jumping over my own leg like that 90s dance.
Yes!
I'm going to be doing everything at one time.
I'm going to do the sprinkler.
Hey guys, we're doing a game.
Oh, sorry.
Can we continue with that? All right. Alejandro from Fullerton. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
I see here that you're an interventionist. We need one. All right. Your band is AFI. What song is this from AFI in just a second?
One more time.
All right. It's Miss Murder.
Yes, it is.
Hey.
Nicely done.
Two. By the way, I'm super psyched about AFI, too.
Same. Lisa in Burbank. Hi.
Hi there.
All right, are you ready for your song? This is the Interrupter. The Interrupters.
Okay. Funny
how she interrupted you, right?
All right, here you go. What's the name of this song? One more time.
Oh, I'm definitely not Googling.
She's kerosene?
She's a good Googler.
I'm a good Googler.
She what the thing that she did well was she it's like oh I don't know
and the up
yeah
the
is
voice?
It kerosene
yes while we could hear her typing
right
yeah, that's good
all right maybe we need to request an answer a little faster
all right let's
going
go to
forward
Brandon in Garden Grove hi
hello
Brandon get your hands away from the keyboard tell us please what song is this by Bad Religion
one more time.
Sounds like Sweet Freedom by Michael McDonald to me.
It's not.
All right. Bad Religion, what song?
Is that Sorrow?
It is.
It is, yes.
She's kerosene?
Nice to
All right, 4-for-4, you guys. I mean, even though we have some Patriots-like cheaters in the audience.
Right.
So far, everyone's qualified.
All right, let's go to, is it Marlon in Englewood?
Yes, good morning, guys.
Good
yes.
morning.
Hi, Marlon.
You get the Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Here you go. One more time.
Oh, my God. One more time.
Nope. I can only give it to you twice.
All right. Today?
It's today.
Today is correct.
All right. 5-for-5. Who's next, please?
Sophia La Mirada.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Can you say hi?
Hello.
That kind of sounded like a dude. Say hi again.
Hello.
All right. Okay. I'm glad you're on the line. You're going to have 30 seconds to Mars. 30 seconds to Mars in just a second. What song is this, please?
One more time.
The Kill.
Yeah, she got it.
She got the kill?
No.
Okay. What if
I wanted to break? Our peeps are great.
Was Sophia Muggs from the other room?
I'm not positive.
Let's keep going until somebody misses one of them.
All right. Why?
Is that our goal?
All right, Thomas in Burbank. Hi.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Loser.
All right, you ready?
Let's do it.
You get Greta Van Fleet.
Go ahead.
There you go. One more time.
Hi.
I'm sorry, what?
Hi.
How said about you're bye? High.
You're high.
Yeah.
Was he looking in the mirror?
No, that was their great breakthrough song, Highway Tune. Awesome, by the way.
Are you happy that someone lost now, Bean? Or
well, I feel kind of bad for Thomas. But everybody was a great contestants, even the one who cheated. Eric, Alejandro, Lisa, Brandon, Marlon, and Sophia all in the running. Only one will win the tickets and the Bud Light backstage passes to night one of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018 Saturday, December the 8th at the Forum. Who's our winner, please?
The winner is Brandon.
Brandon. Congratulations, Brandon.
Thank you. And is your Instagram unbanned yet?
It's not. It is not. But thanks for bringing up a painful memory.
And now, a moment with Jensen.
Super sad. The 90s boy band was popular in the 90s. And that's...
Wait, say that sentence again?
Yeah. That's not worth a poll, just for the record.
That was a moment with Jensen.
Well, proven wrong.
Right. If you're going to get used to this or not, it took us a long time to realize that you misspeak once and it lives forever, Jensen.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, 90s bands could be big whenever.
Sure. I mean, I guess technically, Third Eye Blind is playing Acoustic Christmas, right?
It's a bop.
That's right. It's a heavy bop. Hey, Allie is here with what's happening on a Monday morning. Good morning.
I do love, though, that Jensen had determined that no point in pulling it.
You also don't get that choice.
I was exerting my...
And it just makes them pull it faster.
I know. I was hoping that would work. I was trying Jedi mind trick, but
No, sir. Hey, remember earlier when Bean said, 1975 album's coming out soon. When is that, Allie? And I went, yep. It comes out this Friday.
Oh, great.
Oh, I can't wait.
A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships. That is their new album. And they were just recently on The Live Lounge, which is on BBC Radio 1. And they did a cover of a song that I really wasn't expecting. It's by a young lady named Ariana Grande. It's a song called Thank You Next. And Matty Healy praised Ariana when he was introducing the song, saying that she's become the main protagonist. Is that the right word? In most people's lives. The person I see spoken about most and somebody I've started to really care about for some reason. She's had a right old time. A right old tough time. And I like her a lot. I think she's cool.
I think Ariana Grande would have been just another pop star to a lot of people if not for the way she handled that terrible tragedy of the terrorist attack at her concert.
I thought she was bigger than that before.
No, listen,
she's really popular.
That's a Taylor Swift fan talking,
right? No.
She was huge.
Of course, she's been very popular for a long time. But I'm saying I think that put her on non-pop people's radars a lot.
It did make her seem a little older to me, more mature. Like maybe I should be focusing more on her stuff. I admit that.
I agree, and I think a lot of us changed our minds about how she did handle Manchester, because before it was, this is a girl that wears a high ponytail and is carried around everywhere.
On stage by a security guard
and licking donuts and stuff.
I think you're right. I think that changed a lot for us. Sad that had to be what kind of changed our minds. But,
yeah. But I think she has also developed as an artist, and I think this Thank You Next is probably my favorite song she's ever done.
Well, would you like to hear it done by the 1975?
Very much so.
She's going in a different direction. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the right one?
That's the hand farter covering Queen. Is that the 1975?
They say that they cover Thank You Next.
That is Thank You Next being covered by someone.
That sounded like the Kirk Franklin Nation.
It sounded a lot like not four white dudes from England.
I don't know what to tell you.
Let's play a little more.
All right.
I know that.
That sounds right to me.
It is.
That sounds
wow.
good.
It's a neo-gospel cover.
Not my favorite, but I'll allow it.
The 1975 did a neo-gospel cover?
Yeah, that's what I'm reading.
Wow!
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I apologize. By the way,
I was right. It's a Kirk Franklin cover of an Ariana Grande song. I nailed it.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah. There's no catch.
There is no catch. That's just Matty Healy feeling it. That, wow. That's
I like
really
that cover.
Good, guys.
Call right. now.
Nope.
Nope. So, pretty big box office this weekend. Ralph Breaks the Internet and Creed 2 led the way, delivering the highest grossing Thanksgiving box office ever. Disney's animated Ralph sequel, starring John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman, grossed $84.5 million over 5 days. That's the second biggest Thanksgiving opener ever. And then coming in at number two, Creed 2 brought in $55.8 million over 5 days. And they say that is the most that a live action film has ever brought in over the Thanksgiving holiday.
I've heard wonderful things about both films. Same.
Yes. Coming in at number three, Dr. Seuss, The Grinch, $30.2 million, followed by Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald, $29.7 million, and rounding up the top five with another $13.9 million was Bohemian Rhapsody. Have none of us seen that movie?
I've not.
What's wrong with
no
us?
No interest.
No.
You have no interest. See Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah.
No, no, thank you. I'm not going to see Bryan Singer's take on Queen. I'm going to pass.
Yeah.
No, no, no. No money to that guy.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it is. You're well, boycotting also, whatever it is.
I also don't want to see it. I wouldn't want to see his take on Queen, but I also will socially stand up against Bryan Singer, sure. But I also just don't want to see
I also boycott things I don't want to see.
Yeah.
Makes it easy, doesn't
it? That's a very strong stand, Jensen.
I've been boycotting those Hunger Games movies for a while, too.
You guys, Julie Andrews, she's going to have a role in a movie that I did not see this coming. She has a role in the upcoming superhero movie Aquaman.
Huh.
What?
I don't get that.
She positive?
She wouldn't be in the Mary Poppins movie, but she said yes to Aquaman.
But here's the thing. So she's going to play the mythical sea creature that helps the title character, played by Jason Momoa, make peace between Atlantis and the human world. I don't think when she took the role that she knew this, but the film is set for release December 21st. That's 2 days before Mary Poppins returns.
She's a butt biter.
Do you? Wow, I didn't know that either. But you don't think she possibly knew that, and she's a little aggro about Mary Poppins.
No,
I don't. I don't understand why she won't be in Mary Poppins. Dick Van Dyke is in Mary Poppins.
She's a bitch.
I don't think we're saying
that. Could be
that.
It. I mean, she's a farter and a racist.
I don't know if we're saying any of this, you guys.
I saw the Aquaman trailer and I thought it didn't look so great. A lot of computery. It just felt like too. It felt like Avatar.
But Jason Momoa wet. Take my money now, right? Who's with me? Because he's Aquaman. He's
right.
You talk about somebody that's a loser. She doesn't know what the hell she's doing.
Still going off, unfortunately.
No, that was towards me.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. Hey, some birthdays. Tina Turner, Rita Ora, Natasha Bedingfield. Where'd she go, right?
Right?
She's insane.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't know about that. And DJ Khaled. No?
No.
He's
got no
like,
time for him.
He's got sofas and stuff.
One day I'd
and
like
she's
to.
A porn star.
I know I can't bring it up now because we're running late on this segment, but one day, maybe this week, we should play the DJ Khaled McDonald's commercials.
No.
Have you ever heard them?
No.
It's from before Khaled was famous, and he was just a DJ in Miami, and he used to do live on-air reads for McDonald's. I'll leave you with that tease.
I didn't know he was a DJ in Miami.
Yeah, he started as a urban station DJ, and it's incredible. It's literally one of the most incredible audio I've ever heard.
I need to hear it. Yeah. All right.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
And we got time for one more look at what's happening with Allie.
Yeah.
So we were discussing bad things said at Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. A lot of people in the past had heard the N-word maybe mentioned. Not a good situation. Well, not a good situation over the weekend either. Terry Rossio, he's the Oscar-nominated screenwriter, Shrek, Aladdin, bunch of movies in the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise. He was going back and forth with people on Twitter because he's a he's an anti-vaxxer. So he's he's opposed to people vaccinating their kids.
How is he so successful while also being so stupid then?
Well, it gets worse. He wound up equating the word anti-vax with the N-word.
Oh boy.
What?
Here's his exact tweet. My heart goes out to all the parents of vaccine-damaged children who have to not only endure the sadness of their loss, but also the vitriol of ill-informed and insensitive people such as those here. Anti-vax is equivalent to calling someone a...
Jesus.
And then he wrote it out. Not just N-word. Ugh. He wrote it out.
Hardy R?
Hardy R.
Oh, boy.
Tim Allen is shocked.
So a lot of people were like, what? First of all, never use that word.
First of all, that's wrong.
Second of all, to equate right. it with, saying someone's an anti-vaxxer is the same somehow as calling someone the Terry.
By the way, excuse me. Anti-vaxxer is an accurate description of what he claims to be.
Absolutely.
It's not a slur or an insult.
Yeah. I mean, one is hate speech. Another one is an accurate description of something you're against. Yeah.
Maybe
vaccinations.
What he means is he feels like a pariah because he's in an unpopular minority. Maybe that's what the equation he's trying to make.
But don't help him because he deserves none of it.
Absolutely. He's garbage human.
Yeah.
How hard is it to be a white person and not say one word?
I'm telling you, there are some white people that feel that like they need it.
We've asked you to not
say
one
so
word.
Bad.
But I have a black friend.
But it's in rap music. That's the other one too. Like they say it about themselves. Okay, don't say one word. How hard is it?
Yeah.
You could keep all the other vocabulary.
Yeah.
One word.
Doesn't seem hard.
Even Viggo Mortensen last week had to say it up during a panel.
Yeah
he did.
Just stop it.
Yeah. This guy, what's his name? Rossio? Mr. Rossio?
Terry.
Yeah.
Has he gotten over all of his kids dying of polio yet? Has he gotten through that pain?
Well, a lot of people don't know that's the origin story of Shrek.
Oh, is it?
Didn't vaccinate.
Wow.
And then now look at him.
Or
that's a terrible
did
story.
Vaccinate.
Yeah, or did, yeah.
Right?
Horrible story. He has since apologized. It's a 3-part apology on Twitter if you want to read it.
Like Shrek.
It's not a great apology.
Well, I haven't seen it, but I will guarantee he didn't mean it.
He's not good at apologizing either. Currently, he's writing a Johnny Quest movie for Warner Brothers, and people are like, "Do you want him involved when he's not great at words?" What? Yeah, just a bad situation all around.
And let me tell you something else. A guy who has been in the, as an Oscar-nominated screenwriter, has been in the industry for 40 years or whatever it is. How is he not more publicity savvy than to take a risk like that?
He's an idiot.
That's true.
Yeah. Also, you have an empire like that. Pirates of the Caribbean Empire, Shrek Empire. Like, just stop.
Yeah.
Like, don't get in your own way, Terry Rosa, yo.
Yo.
One word we ask people to not say.
I know.
One word.
It's real hard for some people.
All the rest of them. Every other word in the dictionary. Say it.
So, you guys, we talked about this earlier, and this is how we got into the whole Tim Allen thing, and we were not aware that Jensen was a huge fan of what's the noise again? And that was at the end of the
opening
Home
credits.
Improvement.
But he also just did it all the time.
He did that all the time.
Yeah.
But then when you have a question, you think he does that when he has a question? No. He goes, when he's like in a happy, aggressive place.
Okay.
But then when he has a question,
so we mocked him. We mocked him, then we found this.
It's real.
Which sounds just like what we were mocking Jensen for
identical.
A whole segment.
Yeah.
Insane. But the reason I brought it up, he was on Jimmy Fallon and wound up letting everybody know that Keanu Reeves is going to be in Toy Story 4. And okay. people were like, oh, that's interesting. He then brought up the Santa Claus movie, which we all know as Santa accidentally falls off of his roof on Christmas Eve. Then Tim Allen has to become Santa Claus. He has to convince everybody that he's the new Santa. He starts gaining weight and getting the beard, all of that. But he brought up that the original Santa Claus that he had read for and thought that they were going to shoot was quite a bit darker, where he actually shot and killed Santa on the roof because he thought he was a burglar.
Yeah, that seems ill-advised.
Yes. Turns out former Disney honcho Jeffrey Katzenberg told Allen, I don't want my family and my family-friendly studio seeing a movie where Santa Claus is murdered. So I think they might have done the right thing at the time. But he also says that the children on set believed that he was the real Santa and would often ask him questions. And he didn't always have the best answers for it. So they'd ask him, hey, what do elves eat? And he'd say, I don't know, reindeer. And then the kids would be like, what the hell? What's going on? And then they would say, why do you like milk and cookies? And he'd say, because it took the edge off the Jack and Coke. What should he be around kids? Come on. That's pretty funny.
That is funny. Tim Allen.
It sounds like he was bad Santa before there was a bad Santa.
Exactly my point. I think it's amazing.
At one time, by the way, when Santa Claus was the number one movie in the land, Tim Allen also had the number one book on the New York Times bestsellers list with his autobiography mm-hmm. and the number one show on television at the same time with Home Improvement.
He was rolling.
He was the hottest thing.
That was beans. Fun fact.
You just said he was rolling.
Yeah. And by the way, he's back on TV with a new show, and it's very successful again.
He's really killing it with his lines.
I hate everyone in this room.
This is Tim Allen for Kevin.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
Oh.
That's what we were saying.
I'm telling you, when he has a question, it turns into the higher pitch.
Okay.
That's when he doesn't know what's going on, and Tim Allen doesn't always know what's going on.
You watched a lot of Home Improvement.
Some would say too much.
Big JTT fan over here.
Well, who wasn't?
Yeah.
Was he the youngest one?
Jonathan Thomas? He was the famous one.
No, there were...
Yeah, there were two others, but like, come on.
Is he the one with the good hair? Was he the blonde or the brunette?
He was the brunette that had like the bob that every kid in the 90s had. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
He was a big teen idol.
Yeah.
Wasn't Omar a huge Tim Allen fan until he met him?
Until he met him.
And then Tim Allen was a dick to him.
Turns
right?
out that happens.
Yeah.
Oh, no. See?
If your hero is Tim Allen, don't meet him.
Yeah, I've heard he's not necessarily as family-friendly in real life.
Correct.
Mm. Well, I told you about seeing him sitting right next to him at Depeche Mode. He did not have fun.
What a surprise.
At Depeche Mode!
He was just standing there?
It was, yeah. We were in the boxes at the bowl.
Hollywood Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
welcome back.
He wasn't that fun.
He wasn't having fun.
No, his friends were having a great time, and I like kept looking at his friends, and we're like, yeah, this is awesome. And then we look back at Tim, and he's like, wah, wah. No, that would have been fun.
That would have been better. Okay.
Yeah.
He would have preferred to enjoy some silence.
Oh, what? See, that's a Depression Motel.
File.
Some birthdays for you. DJ Khaled. Loves McDonald's.
Sure yeah. does. Tomorrow I'll deal with that.
We'll find out all about that tomorrow. Tina Turner, Rita Ora, Natasha Bedingfield, and just for Dave, the guard from the first place Los Angeles Clippers,
woo!
Avery Bradley, and that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie, and your drive home. Tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show, Eliza Schlesinger joins us. We've got Hasan Minhaj on the program. and we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas and the Bud Light Backstage Pass.